B-Pod Studios.
It's 12 o'clock, and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. All right, this hour's Fast Cash keyword. You ready? Social. Right. Social.
Followed by distance.
I know. No distancing, just social. Enter the Fast Cash keyword, social, S-O-C-I-A-L, on the Fanatic app at 975thefanatic.com or by texting social to 45911 by 12:15 p.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected. You want $1,000 to help out a little bit. Tough times you got going on right now. We'll call you if you're randomly selected. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Good luck, everybody. Good luck. All right, let's go. Do we still have Joe? Let's go to Joe on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. Hey, what's up? I'll give you an inspiration guy. You guys kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but I'm going to combine and I'll give you something at the end. But, Cheers, you were talking about that Dodgers game. And
yeah.
Did you see the interview with Gibson after?
No, I did not.
It was pretty cool because they were talking to Stewart the entire game and then took him off in the eighth inning because he got pulled and then brought Gibson in for the ninth inning to talk about it and everything. And his interview afterwards, he wound up winning the MVP that year, apparently. I didn't remember that. But he talked about how when he got there and he was with the Tigers and Sparky Anderson was such a no-nonsense guy, and he gets his spring training and they're doing bunt drills and Pedro Guerrero is like just throwing a ball, he's messing around. And he calls a team meeting and basically just rips on him and the whole team, and that actually transformed, like, yo, we don't play this way, you can't play this way, and took them all the way to that, basically, to that World Series, which is pretty crazy. He's a phenomenal guy, and they did an anniversary for, and I'm not a Dodgers or A's fan, really, but they did an anniversary for that World Series, and they had a show on him and Hershiser.
Wow.
And I think Gibson has Parkinson's or something now.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I mean, it was tear-jerking. Wow. Because he was really debilitated and everything, but he came back for that.
That's a shame.
It was crazy interview. And to see that anniversary thing is pretty inspirational as well. He's
Do you remember watching the game?
No, I don't remember that. I mean, we're about the same age. I know I watched it, but I don't really remember. I remember watching the baseball big time back then, but I don't really remember.
You know what's amazing? You just hit the nail on the head. Joe, think about it. You remember watching, like, you didn't miss the World Series back then.
No, you didn't. You didn't. And it was only, you know, at four games. You know what I mean? It was two teams. You know, you had, back then, you know, wild card, you know, which I think wild card's actually one of the best things that Major League Baseball has done, you know, to get other teams and keep your team.
I just wish the wild card would be a real series, not just one game.
Yeah. I agree. But they'd have to make some big-time changes. As far as inspiration stuff, combining the two, you were just talking about Foles and Peterson.
Yeah.
I combine the two because that fourth down play before halftime, and they did it on the My Teams app that they have.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm watching it last night. And to think that, I mean, and egos for coaches can come into play in that. You saw it in the Seahawks Patriots game where they, you know, had a Mack truck running down the field the entire game. And that last second, and then he decided to throw the ball when you couldn't stop Marshawn Lynch in that game. And brutal, because I hate the Patriots. But, you know, for that fourth down play, for Foles to come over and want to call a play like that, and Peterson to just say, yeah, okay, yeah, let's do it. I mean, it basically won him the game, you know, but it's crazy to put all egos aside and shows you where Foles was thinking and his kind of leadership there. And then Peterson just say, yeah, okay, let's do it.
Is that correct? You're right. I mean, and you're dead right about coaches. I mean, those guys, nobody's going, hey, you're like, what do you think? Listen, I love Andy to death. Andy's calling the play, man. There's no way in the world he's letting anybody call the play. And I'll be honest with you, if I'm the coach and play caller, I'm calling the play. I'm not asking Nick the quarterback.
Right. Fourth down with 30-something seconds left in the half in the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. And, you know, I mean, that quarterback, Foles was throwing, he was throwing passes through a steering wheel in that game. It was crazy. But, you know, I mean, just to have the wherewithal to come over, and they had already lined up.
I know.
And then just come over and say, hey, Philly, and he's like, yeah, okay. I mean, what's that blip on that chart? It's like, you know,
right?
Fraction of a line, you know?
I know. Like,
yeah, okay. All right, yeah, let's do it. And it turns out that, and you know, the Pats couldn't run it, and we did and got a touchdown, and the rest is history. You know, I mean, I never thought I'd win a Super Bowl in my life.
No, you're right. And you know the other thing, too, is when you go back to hearing that cut of the sound, he's so calm, Doug.
Yeah.
But he's not at all Super Bowl.
No, oh, crazy. It was insane to me. So, and then to hear the whole thing about it afterward that Joe Foles came up with it was just even more. I mean, it kind of goes with what you guys say, talking about Foles and Peterson is kind of linked, you know. So,
without a doubt.
But I appreciate you guys getting us through these times. You know, I mean, you know, there's no sports, but at least we can still talk about it and stuff.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks, man.
You guys have a good day.
You two, be careful. Be safe out there.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
All right, buddy. You got to, at some point, you just you got to get the exchange again. Or you might be doing that right now, is my guess.
I might be doing it right now.
I know you. You're on top of it, Tunis. That's my boy. You're on top of it. Yeah, Peterson is so calm. Like, Doug's just like, you know, what do you think? Philly. Let's do it. Like, it's the Super Bowl. And I just remember, you know, knowing those offensive guys. Those guys are type A. It goes back to Kyle Shanahan and how he called the Super Bowl the Brady Super Bowl against the Falcons. Where, let's be real, Atlanta, I mean, the Patriots have no way should they have won that Super Bowl. And Kyle Shanahan blew that Super Bowl. And in a way, you look at this year's Super Bowl. Now, I thought my boy Spags called a great game. And he called a great that fourth quarter, he owned them. But I still question whether or not, why are you throwing the ball? All right, take a listen. This is this is one of our most amazing moments in all of Philadelphia sports.
Hold on. We're going for it right here. We're going for it right here. Let's do it.
Go back to that. Philly? Yeah.
Hold on. We're going for it right here. Let's do it.
How amazing. There was the pause, and he's thinking, should we really run Philly right here? Because he's all that. He knows he's going for it. He's Doug, right? Doug always goes for it. So he's like, we're going to go for it right here. We're going for it. And then what Foles says, Philly, you go. He's wait, like he's going, yeah, let's do it.
And it's not even like, not even a,
Right.
No, he's just like, yeah, let's do it. After a pause. He didn't even give the Doug sigh.
Amazing, right? It's amazing. One more time, Judas.
Hold on. We're going for it right here.
Let's do it.
It's uncanny. And that was the play that we'll all remember.
In case you're wondering, that was a 2.5 second long pause.
That's amazing. That's the play that people have tattoos of on their bodies.
Yeah, they got the X's and O's.
Unreal. Chris and Yardley, You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris!
Yo, Wayne, how are you, buddy?
How you doing, my friend? How you holding up?
I'm thinking back when I was a kid. My dad used to say if somebody was talking to himself, you only worried when they started talking back. And that's where I'm at. Like I'm having full on conversations and answering myself. So I'm losing my stuff, man. But you know, I got friends along the way. You know what I mean?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Hey, but listen, the fact that you just played the audio from Dougie P and Nick Foles three times in a row, that's how you know you're in Philadelphia. There's no other sports town in the entire country. It's like, hey, you know what we can do while we're all locked down, hiding from COVID? Let's play the audio from a football game and have people like me getting chills right now.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Do it.
Right? Like, it's unbelievable. Every time I go back to that moment, to that Super Bowl, and, you know, first of all, that Nick Foles comes up with that, and second of all, that Doug has that, like Tuna said, 2.5 second pause, Chris, and he goes, yeah, let's do it. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, that I think right there, though, you have to be a kind of coach for a player to come up, especially a backup quarterback, to feel confident enough to even think about the play, but to also say to his coach, to know that his coach is willing to hear him say, hey, want to do this play? And his coach goes, yeah, let's just do it. Like, that to me, when you were asking the question about an inspirational coach, and you said Peterson, I absolutely think he's an incredibly inspirational coach. I think, if anything, he brings the golly gee of Brian Dawkins that we all love so much. It's kind of like, we're going to run through a wall, but the way Dougie does it is, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to figure it out. And then you got, you know, Dawkins, who's like a different person. But the reality is, it's that passion of being able to connect to players. It's about a guy who can say, hey, how's your kid doing? It's about a guy, I mean, think about that as a human being, when somebody goes, hey, Ann, how are your kids doing? Not, you know, they don't want to talk sports. They want to know about your kids. They want to know about you. They truly care about you. That's an important factor, and I think it's often lost. And if people don't believe it, look at us right now. And the most important people in our lives are the ones that are reaching out and saying, hey, do you need anything? You know, can I help in any way? That's what this is all about. So when I think of inspirational coaches, I think if we all had a little Buggy P in us, I think this whole process would go much smoother.
Yeah, no, it's true. That's true. I mean, the calmness, the leadership. I mean, it's pretty impressive, man. It's good.
With that said, Ann, I just want to leave you with a little Sam Elliott, because by God, he just makes everything better.
So, Ann, when you're going through COVID and you want to kick people in the head who don't know what 6 feet feel like, when you're standing there watching the news and you see idiots on beaches and you wish for great white sharks to eat them all, just remember, we're going to see you on the other side, my friend, and we're going to have a beer. Hell, we might even share it and not worry about killing each other. You be well, my friend. Take care.
Wow, that was awesome. That was awesome. Is Sam Elliott not outrageous?
He's great. Does a great job.
Isn't it incredible? Oh, my God, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. All right, sit tight. You don't want to miss this, because coming up next, we relive Eagles and Giants, the miracle in the Meadowlands, the original. That's right. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
across the Delaware Valley. And now we go in one of my favorite times of the day because we have no games. So every day, 12:20, we like to relive a game from the past. We take turns, Flyers, Sixers, Phillies, Eagles. Today is an Eagles day. Today we hearken back, way back. November 19th, 1978. 1 o'clock kickoff from the Meadowlands. That's right. The Eagles and Giants. Miracle of the Meadowlands, the original. And we start off on the call, Don Crickey and Sonny Jurgensen. That Don Crickey, who Judas don't even know, Don Crickey did Notre Dame.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Dolphins. You heard? He might still be active at some point, I think.
He's got a great voice from doing the play-by-play today.
He did. He used to be a big-time NBC guy, although this was CBS, this one. I remember from the 80s and NBC. But here we go. It's Eagles and Giants. Right here's the start.
A beautiful November day as the Giants and the Eagles are ready for their first meeting of the season. Here's our officiating crew for today's game. The referee is Cal Lepore. As the Giants have won the toss, they'll be receiving to start the game. And there is Nick Mickemeyer with the ball teed up and ready to hit it for the Eagles. While back deep for the Giants, Doug Koeter is back at the goal line. Back there with him is Bobby Hammond to the right, 33 and 44. The kick heads downfield. This is Hammond, 2 yards deep in the end zone. He's to the 10. Eagles with good special teams pursuit cut him down at the 17-yard line and come close to getting a flag. Eagles are hitters, an aggressive, enthusiastic team.
Wow. The Eagles are hitters.
Now, let me ask you something.
Yes.
I purposely left the referee's name in there.
I love that.
Did people know the referees back then like they do now?
I don't know.
Referees, before. People talk about referees by name now.
It's really before my time. I'm a little dude. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
I guess. I love it because I think it is a setup. It's a great setup. But this brings me back to I'm a little boy. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. I love the other thing. The Eagles are a hard-hitting, enthusiastic team. That's classic. Giants, on their opening drive, face a 3rd and 17. Pisarcik back to pass. It's broken up by a guy you'll hear of from later on in the game. Listen up.
Second year from Colorado. At the top of your screen, up to the right. It's Johnny Perkins, flyer out of Abilene. Pisarcik with his first throw. It's a home run shot. Here's Perkins going for the ball, and the Eagles break it up. Doubled up on the outside receivers, and Herman Edwards, 46, came over, had a play on the football, could not intercept. And so now the Giants will have to punt the ball, and suddenly the Eagles can come out of this with good field position.
Wow. That's crazy. It sounds like an ancient game, though, doesn't it?
Yes. Even
happy. First pass of the game, and it's a home run ball.
I was happy that the audio quality was good, to be honest.
Oh, the quality's awesome, but it sounds like Pricky sounds like he's calling the war of 1812. Here we go. Some of the names that just take a listen for the birds, and some of the names. This is a 4-yard run you're going to hear for the birds, but I would really want to hear. Take a listen if you recognize any of these names.
The Eagles have the ball. 1st and 10 at the Giant 42-yard line. First possession for the Eagles in this game. Jaworski, the quarterback. Wilbert Montgomery is in as the deep back in the I set. Has missed the last two games. He was the NFC's leading rusher until he went down with an ankle injury. They go to the up back, the fullback, Hogan, and he blasts inside the 40, hits down to the 38-yard line. Kelly and Carson knocked him down for the Giants, but there was a pickup on the play of almost four.
That's like, you know, 4 yards in a cloud of dust, dude. Oh, my God. This is it. Spread them, right? Spread and throw.
Charles had a nice, ready?
Yeah.
Ready!
Wow, that was awesome, Jaws, man. All right, Eagles, they attempt a field goal on their first drive. But take a listen to what happens and then what ensues afterwards. Oh, I'm sorry. They take a listen. They try a field goal. And Nick Mickemeyer, which is another bust-out name, he misses a 45-yard field goal. So I'm sure the people are freaking out over Mickemeyer. And then the Giants get the ball back, good field position, go right down the field, and this happens.
This rivalry goes back a lot of years. This is the 88th meeting between the Giants and the Eagles.
I think I lost 40 of those against the Giants.
Arcik looking into the end zone. He's got a man. Heaven, touchdown, Giants. That's a well-executed play. Wide receivers cleared it out, and Hammond snuck in there, and Pizarcik put it right between his threes.
Well, it was a well-conceived play because Hammond goes out again, the play action. The thing that made it the great pattern that Bobby Hammond ran here goes outside and got into that seam inside the safety and the cornerback. He cut back in the seam, got behind Ray Phillips.
Bobby, don't call me Reggie Hammond, catches the touchdown for the Giants. They lead 7-0. Now, the Eagles came back, and they put together a nice drive. But Jaws, not his best game as an Eagle.
Carmichael is out wide to the left now. They have three wide receivers in the game, the Eagles, on a 3rd and 4. Jaworski, here comes Carson on a blitz. The throw is intercepted by Van Pelt. Brad Van Pelt takes it back inside the Eagle 40-yard line and down to the 38. And so the Giants all-pro outside linebacker Van Pelt picks off Jaworski, and the Giants have back the ball.
He made it perfect. You see the delayed blitz by Carson. Mendenhall throwing his man. Good rush. Van Pelt played it perfectly. You see the position he has on Montgomery. Picks it off. Big break for the New York Giants.
And all around the Delaware Valley, our grandfathers and fathers were screaming and cursing Ron Jaworski. Right? Everybody was cursing Jaws after that, Judas. So, going back on offense, the Giants put together some big plays that get them inside the red zone. They get called for a holding penalty. It's 1st and 20 from the Eagles' 30. But Pizarcik converts.
1st and 20 now for the Giants at the 30-yard line of Philadelphia. Pizarcik stands in. He's got a guy so open in the end zone, he might drop it. He holds on. Boy, there was a blown coverage there. Perkins was so alone, there wasn't anybody within 10 yards of him.
Boy, does he do a good job just waiting for Perkins to clear. Right there, you see the hit on him. He went down, but look how open Perkins is.
Uh-oh. Tunis. You're down 14-0.
I was shaking my boots this morning, Ant.
What happened to the blown coverage? Johnny Perkins running free.
It's a miscommunication.
what happened?
Darby and Malcolm. Sorry. This is 1978. My bad.
I was going to say, where's that snake at? Is you on Fox? Who's the snake? Scandrick.
Yes.
Scandrick. Oh, my God, great. Eagles on offense now. And here it is, 3rd and 6, a key 3rd and 6 inside Giants territory. Jaws looks for his man in the hookup. Hall of Famer Harold Carmichael.
Jaworski throws, and Carmichael catches his second ball of the day, and this again is good for a first down.
Good throw that time by Ron Jaworski. Had to throw the ball real early, covered by Ernie Jones. He threw it just a simple turn-in pattern. He didn't have double coverage this time on Carmichael.
So Harold, that was his second catch of the game and extended his streak of consecutive games with a reception to 92. On the way to 127 games. Unfortunately for the Birds, special teams would let them down again.
Giants had two guys open in the first quarter in the end zone, and resulted in two touchdowns. Field goal attempt is blocked, and the Giants have the ball at the Eagle at their 32-yard line. Second field goal attempt by Nickemeyer never left the line of scrimmage.
Dude, that's where... That's like that's why you wonder why Eagle fans, like the older people, you freak out all the time. Like they sound like they hate everybody because they had to deal with, you know how bad football was back then.
It must have been awful,
right?
There's no Patrick Mahomes back then.
I mean, like how bad Eagles football was.
Yes.
Oh my God. Now late in the second quarter, Eagles down 14-0 to the Giants. All right, the two missed field goals hurt them. They get the ball back. But finally, they convert thanks to the man number 31 from Abilene Christian.
The tight end is Osborne, 86, set to the left. Carmichael comes out to the right side. Also on the right flank is Ken Payne. Jaworski goes to Montgomery, and Wilbert Montgomery takes it in for a touchdown. Giants are looking for the pass, and Wilbert Montgomery, with his speed, busts out of the blocks and goes right in for 6 points. So the Eagles, with a 47-yard gainer, got in position, and Wilbert Montgomery then takes it in.
That's a horrible call, isn't it?
And you know what? You're right. It's like war stuff. He said right flank.
He's
using war terminology.
I mean, I feel like I'm listening to the War of 1812.
You're doing fireside chats right now.
A bad snap on the extra point, though. Again, you imagine, we'd be freaking out. Two missed field goals, a missed extra point. It's now 14-6. Late in the first half, Giants on the move. And they could put a huge play to kind of take a real stranglehold of the game. But take a listen to what happens.
Emory Moorhead, he's a flyer, but doesn't have fire to fly. He's out on the right flank. Perkins is to the left, as is Robinson. Drills it, intercepted by the Eagles. Howard picked it off. Kozarczyk threw his high, hard one right at Emory Moorhead, who was angling in on a post pattern off the right flank.
I'll tell you, tough pass to intercept. He drills the ball on a slant pattern. Howard played it perfectly, made the play.
Bob Howard. I have no idea who Bob Howard was.
I love how they're calling the speed receivers the Flyers.
Yeah.
He's the Flyer on the top
Emory
of your screen.
Emory Moorhead. I actually remember him. His name, Emory Moorhead. Third quarter was quiet. Giants get a field goal. 17-6. We're in the fourth quarter now. Eagles need to put together a drive. They're pinned deep in their own zone, deep in their own territory. But that's right. Here comes Jaws.
Jaworski looks, throws, man is open. Osborne lost the ball.
They got a flag down. May have roughing the passer.
But we do have.
Personal foul. Roughing a passer. 64 defense. First down.
Mendenhall got carried away.
Tough call, I tell you. All the injuries to the quarterbacks. You got to protect the quarterbacks. This man took a beating last week.
Wow, that's great. That's great you put that in there. Got to protect the quarterbacks.
That was in 1978.
That's Sonny Jurgensen in 1978 saying, got to protect the quarterbacks.
They were still getting beat up back then. Now you breathe on them and it's 15
right.
yards.
This man took a beating. We'll get Jaws on maybe tomorrow just to talk about the beatings he took. Dude, they were legendary beatings.
Well, yeah, I was watching it. He was doing 7-8-step drops every single play. And the offensive line was missing everybody.
But then he would get crushed. Crushed. And, like, just, I remember watching Blindside getting swallowed up by the ends. Oh, my God. Terrible. All right, so the Eagles now get a first and goal. Now the Giants, they're dominating up front. Burks can't get the yards on first down or second down. Clock keeps just ticking. However, it's third and goal, and here comes Mike Hogan.
Time is becoming very much a factor working against the Eagles. Clock running under 5 minutes as Dick Vermeil checks the clock. The Eagles send in substitutes. Third and goal from inside the one for Philadelphia. Touchdown Eagles with 3:59 on the clock. The Eagles put in their second touchdown. Mike Hogan diving over the top to get it.
That's such a bad call.
Yeah, do you think people are going to appreciate Joe Buck?
Right? Yeah, he is touchdown. Mike Hogan diving over the top.
We have Tom Brenneman redo this game.
The that man, Boston Scott. Birds down by 5. That was funny, real quick, just to take a quick TO. You said something last week. The broadcasting is way more theatrical now.
Yes.
It's so much better because it's theater.
Back then, it was Montgomery touchdown, like that was it. And you said Summerall used to do that too. Like he was a very.
Well, he did it for TV. Like, yes. Brevity was a big deal.
But now it's, you know, guys like Tom McGinnis.
Are you kidding me?
You didn't get Are You Kidding Me back then.
Nah, there was not like
welcome to Philadelphia.
Don Cricky's just giving you right off the flat touchdown Eagles. Yeah, Birds down by 5 now. Again, you heard it. Just under 4 minutes to go. They got all 3 timeouts. Now, this is interesting because we forget that the Eagles actually forced a turnover and were set up to win it before the miracle. This is what happened.
The Eagles looking to get the ball back, but they only have 1 timeout remaining, and they've taken 2 in this Giant drive. Free football. Eagles have the ball. You never know until the gun sounds what might transpire, and the Eagles defense comes up with a big play. Dennis Harrison is off the bottom of the pile, and Wilkes has the football.
Wow. Wilkes was a linebacker. Was he a linebacker? I remember Big Daddy Harrison. He caused the fumble. So here you go, Judas. They actually had the ball. They're ready to go. Take the lead before the miracle. Oh, but Jaws, another mistake.
All right, clock at 1:37. 2nd and 10. Jaworski looks. Pump fakes. Gets it away. Intercepted by the Giants. The ball is picked off by Otis McKinney. As it skipped off the hands of the wide-open receiver, Otis McKinney gets the carry, intercepts. The Giants have it back. And now, with 1:23 left to play, they look like they can run the game out.
Wow, isn't that wild? You know what? I had no idea that they were driving and they could have won the game before the miracle.
Yeah, I found that out today.
And Joss throws the big interception. Man, he had a tough one, man. 3 interceptions that day. And, of course, all this sets up. 1:37. All they got to do is take a knee. That's all the Giants have to do. But they don't. Here it is. The miracle of the Meadowlands. The original.
And the Eagles out of timeouts with 1 minute left to play and the clock winding down below that. As the clock winds out on the Philadelphia Eagles, a game they thought would project them into a possible wild card position. It would bring them 7-5 had they won. But a late interception by the Giants will preserve a Giant victory. An upset win as the Giants lead 17-12 and we're inside 30 seconds. The Eagles have no timeouts. Wait a minute. Here's a free foot. I don't believe it. The Eagles pick it up and Herman Edwards runs it in for a touchdown. An incredible development.
just like the opening game of the season when the New England Patriots were running the game out against the Washington Redskins. A fumble. This is the most astounding development. This is even more unbelievable.
Just doesn't get the snap. He just loses the snap, doesn't get it. And who's right there? Herman Edwards picks it up on the dead run and goes in for a touchdown.
Now, fortunately, that was his best call of the entire game.
Hey, so years later, a few years ago, from today, I had Joe Pisarcik on. I want to say it was maybe 7 or 8 years ago when I was at the other station. I had Pisarcik on. And he said, he made sure to tell me that he didn't want to run the ball. That was Perkins and what he, it was Rape the coach. And it was the coach who said to run the ball. And he didn't do it. He's like, what do you mean? I got to run it? And so he ran the ball because that's what the coach wanted.
Yeah, it was weird. So I obviously watched the entire game. So I watched that entire drive. And the first play of their drive, when they got the ball post that interception, Pisarcik actually just dove onto the ground. It wasn't even a knee. He took the snap and just fell down. And then Eagles players dove on top of him. It actually caused a little scrum on the field because they basically hit a guy that already gave up his body. And then the second play was a run to Larry Zonka, who was with the Giants at the time.
Right.
And then that third play, I guess it was miscommunication because Zonka just ran up the middle without, like, he didn't even put his arms out to get the ball. And I think Pisarcik turned the wrong way because Zonka went to his left and he turned to his right. And then that's when that happened. He then put it off his back. It's not like he got hit and fumbled. He went to turn and he went to give the ball to Zonka and he hit his back and it fell out.
Wow.
It just worked perfectly for the Eagles, obviously.
Wow, that's amazing, man. Could you imagine if that was today? We would be out of our minds. Could you imagine that? Like, you're watching that play, you're going, are you serious with that?
Well, also, imagine, obviously there was sports betting back then, but nowhere near as much as it is today. Imagine if you had, like, the Giants money line or something. And you lost because of that.
I don't think they had that stuff back then.
Well, there's probably some bookies here and there.
Well, they had spreads.
Yeah.
But I don't think they had money lines, stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, in fact, what I would love to do, because I always think you learn, so I think it's fascinating. If you remember the game and remember what it was like back then, give us a buzz, man. We're going to have Herm Edwards tell us from the player's standpoint, from the player's perspective, what happened in that game. But I would love to hear from a fan's perspective what was going on. And you're right. Like, that had to be the most outrageous game in the history of the league, right? That you win like that? That's amazing. My man, Taste Cake Dom on the text board, his brother Mike is listening from Virginia, and his cousin Val, they said they remember that game like it was yesterday.
Well, they better call up.
And his father freaking out. So I'm curious. All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Give us a call if you remember that. We're going to talk to Herm Edwards, who scored the touchdown. Coach at Arizona State. You know the deal. He's coming up next. He's a football guy now. Taking your mind off of things. Day 15 without sports. It's Cuz Radio with Chunas, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 12:51. Hope you enjoyed Miracle of the Meadowlands, the original. And the man who scored the touchdown, one of the great men of football. We talked to him a couple months ago, and he was kind enough to talk about Harold Carmichael, and now the coach at Arizona State, and just enjoying everything with the great Herm Edwards on the Comcast Business Hotline. Herm, how you holding up, man?
I'm okay. I'm still getting here at 4 in the morning, working out, trying to look at certain scenarios of when we might get back to playing football and practicing football again. And so, you're always dealing with schedules, trying to practice schedules together and meeting schedules and when we can get them back on campus. But I think the first thing is that we all have to be very, very aware of this thing is it's an invisible opponent. And it's everywhere, in cities like yourself in Philly and in New York and out in California. We're in Arizona right now. It's not as bad, but this thing is real, man. And we got to make sure that we protect all those that we love. That's important. We're all on the same team.
Amen, brother.
We're all on the same team right now.
Yeah,
brother.
Yeah.
It's funny you're talking about watching the Miracle of the Meadowlands, the game. Fans probably didn't realize there was no high definition back in those days, right? No high definition, man.
You know what's crazy is going back and watching. We're doing this because we're stars for sports, as you can well imagine, sure. And it takes people's minds off of things.
Yeah, it does.
You know, we relive a game every day, and this one, Herm, it was crazy. It's just. Man, the style of play, it's amazing how much the game, right?
Yep, different. Different. The game was played inside the numbers.
Yeah.
A lot of running, a lot of play action football. Now the game is played in space. The players are more athletic. And I'm not saying we weren't athletic back in our day. I still think I could play it in today's world, but the big guys now are more athletic, and you don't see those linebackers that are always playing the run. Now as a linebacker, you have to play the pass. They always have four to five defensive backs in the game because people spread you out and they make you tackle in the space. And I think, and you guys know this, you guys follow sports, you guys are smart. The quarterback has really changed now, the ability to run. The college system is kind of starting to come in to pro football, and that is worrisome for defensive coordinators, because before you never had to count the quarterback as part of the offense. He either threw the ball or he handed the ball off.
Right.
Now the ability to run the ball, man, with some of these quarterbacks that are very athletic makes it tough on defenses.
I mean, and it's so tough because they can extend plays. The great ones, like Mahomes.
Yes.
And I see Kyler Murray, who's out there by you. You watch that kid? He's extending plays to throw it down the field. Yeah. And you know better than anybody, because you played that position, how hard it is to cover for all that time.
It's tough. And Randall was a little bit of that when we got Randall in Philly. He kind of played on the edge a little bit. But not as much as the guys do now, with the RPO systems, and they spread you out, man. It makes you, if you can't tackle, you're in trouble. You got to be a good tackler in space now. If you can't tackle, boy, you're going to be in trouble. It's going to be a long day for you defensively.
It's so true. So take us back to that game of the Meadowlands. And first of all, how shocked were you that there was no kneel down?
Well, see, here's what happened. You probably watched the game. If fans are watching the game on television, it's one thing. When you watch the highlights, you just think, well, why didn't they kneel? Well, they actually did two plays prior to the fumble. They took a knee, and Bill Berger, our middle linebacker, he knocked Clack into Pisarcik, and there was a little bit of a scrum, and you don't see that on television because they don't show that, all right? And so officials came in and broke us up, and then Joe – you know, at that point goes over and they're talking and you know, the week before this, I know this story because Joe told me the story because, you know, Pisarski became an Eagle.
Right.
He was on our, okay, so you kind of hear the story from the other side of it when Joe comes to us, you know, and so he says, you know, the week prior to that, Coach called in a play and Joe didn't run it. And Coach got mad and said, hey, look, when I call a play, look, you run it. You don't check off. You just run what I say. So that was in his mind. And so a lot of the guys in the huddle said, look, let's just run the ball. And they ran it the next play. They actually ran it the next play, okay? And so they ran it, you know, and then the next play, you know, guys are saying, well, let's take a knee. And they're going, no, we got to run this. We got to run it again, you know. And so there's this conversation in the huddle with the Giant players, and all of a sudden they break the huddle and the clock is running down. And Joe's kind of like, you know, well, you know, we should the players say, take a knee, and Joe's like, I run the play.
Oh.
And so Zonka's the tailback, man. He's the tailback, you know, and you can, and I'm looking because it's a tight formation and Kodar's the wing. And I'm talking to Kodar and telling him, hey, man, you know, and God bless you, man. You know, Doug has passed away since then. And I shook his hand and said, hey, man, we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We'll play him a couple of weeks, you know. And so what happens is the ball is like bobbled on the snap because Joe's kind of looking at Zonka and the clock's starting to run down. And Clack, who's the center, he hikes a little bit before Joe anticipates the snap. So the ball is already being bobbled. And I kind of see that. Now, Kodar's not blocking me because he's just thinking, man, they, you know, they're going to take a knee. Well, lo and behold, Joe goes around and tries to give it to Zonka, and it hits off his hip. And so I just come off the side, man. I see this happening, and I'm going, if I can get – my mind is telling me to get it on the first bounce, get it on the first bounce. And it hits one bounce, and Joe is kind of reaching out for the ball. And the last thing I hear from Joe is he's screaming, oh, no. I catch it on the bounce, you know, and no one knows this. And I'm running in. And now, the really funny part about the story is this. It says, you know, Coach Ramirez, who's our coach, you know, I love Dick like a dad.
Yeah.
And he's on the sideline, and he's got Jaws and Carmichael and Wilbur and all those guys, and he's talking to them. So his back is turned away, and he's saying, hey, look, we might get one more play. If we can make them punt, we'll get one more play. And he's talking about all this stuff, and players are leaving the bench, running. And he grabs me and says, where you guys going? And he says, Coach, Herm just scored a touchdown. And he turns around. So he didn't even see it. He didn't even see play. He was coaching, man.
Oh, my God. That's outrageous.
Yeah, so that's kind of what transpired, you know. And then after that, obviously, the knee came into play and the victory formation where they put the guy behind – you know, the quarterback. I mean, that the next week, that came into vogue, and that was in 1977, and that's what everyone does now.
Wow. You know what's
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's the funny part. So when I become, like, the head coach, you know, the Jets, and so, I you know, we're going through, you know, the week, and, you know, we're putting in all the stuff, you know, the Hail Mary and all these plays, and I said, why do they have this formation? You know, this victory thing. And like, you know, a bunch of rookies were sitting there trying to figure out, yeah, that's just victory formation. I said, well, why did this happen? Well, why did this all take place? And they're kind of sitting there, and I put the tape on. And sure enough, I throw them the play, right? And they all kind of look around and say, Coach, that was you. I said, yeah, that was me, man. I picked up the ball. So I did the same thing when I took the job here, man, at Arizona State. Now, these kids weren't even born.
Yeah, right.
They weren't even born, man. And they kind of look, and they're looking, and they're going, Coach, that was you. And I said, yeah, that was me. How about that?
That is so awesome,
a lesson learned,
man.
Hopefully.
That's a great coaching tool, though. It's like, look, man, all right, I was Johnny on the spot, man. That's who I
You hear it all the time, too. Coaches say the game's never over till it's over, man, you know, and just keep playing. Just keep playing until the clock says you can't play anymore.
That's amazing. What was it? What was it like afterwards? Like, because that was a huge game, wild card ramifications.
It was. It got us in the playoffs. Actually,
wow.
You know, it was a game we needed to win, and that was the first year we got in the playoffs in '78 with Dick. And you know, Leonard Toth was in the hospital. That was our owner then. He was having heart surgery actually, and he was listening to the game. He had heart surgery or something. And he was in his bed, and he was listening to the game on radio. he was telling everybody, well, you guys trying to give me another heart attack or what? Right? And it was surreal in the sense that it's one of those deals that you're kind of like, what just happened? You know, and everyone's kind of, I remember the stadium. The stadium went silent. It was unbelievable. The stadium just went silent. And going in the locker room, you know, everybody's trying to figure out what just happened, right?
Right.
And it's one of those deals, man. I was fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time and, you know, make a play for the team. And that's how you look at it, you know. And
yeah.
But it's amazing that, you know, that happened in 1978. And, you know, people still talk about it.
I mean, it's one of the most amazing things ever. Yeah, we do. You know, there's like three miracles in the Meadowlands now. There's right. the Westbrook right. punt return, the yeah. DeSean Jackson bomb. Yep. But, like, you're the original. you know, Herm, I don't realize is that you guys had the ball. You got a turnover with a yeah. minute change to go, and then Jaws throws a pick, or else you yep. guys win it before the miracle.
Right. It says a lot of things in that game. It was a seesaw game that kind of went back and forth, you know, and it's funny, you know, what happens is, you know, and this is in 1978, so this is my second year in the league. And so, when you're playing ball, you just play ball. And, you know, we always say, you know, sports is always moments and memories, right? That's what sports presents.
Yeah.
It's all fans and the players. It's sport, that's what it boils down to, you know. And moments and memories, people remember those things for some reason. And
yeah.
When you think about it, you do it when it happens in your career. You don't think about it. Like, you know, it's just kind of, and then you retire and you go on with your life. But it's amazing, you know, when you go on television, you work for ESPN, you do so much traveling. I was traveling from California to Bristol, you know, making that commute all the time. You're in a lot of airports and you just see a lot of people. And it's amazing how many people walk up to you and say, hey, coach, I remember the plane. You look at them, you go, what? And like some of these, I go, you're not old. They go, yeah, coach, I was 6 years old, man. I was watching with my dad, you know. And my dad was throwing stuff at the television. You hear all these stories, you know. And it's just, it connects so many people that it's just unbelievable, you know. And it becomes kind of, is it a defining moment in my career? I guess a little bit in the fact that, you know, you do something unusual. But it's funny, you know, playing in Philly all those years, you know, never missed a start. Never missed the practice, all that. Had 38 interceptions.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one ever talked about that.
No.
It's just one play. And it's kind of like, I get it. You know, I get it. And I was fortunate enough to do it in Philly, you know. And you talk about a passionate city, a well-versed city as far as sports, a very knowledgeable city. You couldn't do it in a bigger place. And it happened in New York.
Yes, yes.
I mean, those two stories collide, and it is what it is, you know.
Right, your whole, you know, you have an incredible career, you know, an all-pro career, but that play is probably a top five play in the history of the NFL. I mean,
you're funny. You know, it's funny you say that because all of a sudden, you know, when you're working at Bristol, right? And I knew Chris Berman and all those guys very well because Chris interviewed me back in 1980 when we were going to the Super Bowl when ESPN was just kind of starting. And lo and behold, you know, when those guys were up there talking about, we're going to, you know, have the top 10 plays. And they said, coach, you're always going to be in the top 10. I said, okay, as long as I'm in the top 10, I'm good. So that's funny. We didn't laugh out of that, right?
Oh, my God. It's awesome. You got to tell people how, I mean, it's funny. Jaws got wrecked a couple of the plays, and they were saying how he got beat up the week before.
Yeah,
and it was interesting because even Sonny Jurgensen was calling the game, and he said, "Look, we have to protect the quarterbacks." And all I keep thinking about is the guys were getting crushed back then.
Oh, and, my God!
Right?
You know. I mean, the rules have changed. Obviously, you got to protect the quarterback because, you know, money's a big factor in this, too. I mean, you pay a guy $30, $20 million, you know, that's a lot of your salary cap. And if that guy goes down in today's game, because the pass has really become, you know, it's what we do. I mean, you know, you run to win, you've got to throw to score points. So that's part of it.
but the quarterback is like, he's the guy, you know? And I mean, look, the mindset on defense is real simple. I want to see the second string guy play. Right?
Yeah.
You know, if you knock the first guy out, then the second string guy comes in. He's probably hadn't taken the reps the first string guy has. There's a reason there's a first string quarterback and a second string quarterback.
Right.
And so, you know, you pay that guy so much money that your whole offense changes dramatically when that guy's out. You know, and that's why you got to protect the guy, because then the game is bad.
Yeah.
If that quarterback got hurt 25 years ago, the game stayed the same. You can run the ball. You can do some things. Well, now the game is a game of why we talked about earlier. You spread people out and you throw the ball. You know, people want to see scoring.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. They want to see scoring. Now, they want to see defense in the last 3 minutes of when you're winning the game. Hold them, defense. Hold them. But other than that, they want to see athletic players play in space. That's what they do, whether it's running backs, whether it's wide receivers, tight ends, whether it's defensive backs, you know, trying to cover those guys, linebackers trying to cover those guys. I mean, it's become a skill league of elite athletes at every position.
Basketball turf, man, basketball grass, basketball.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. I mean, think about it, to your point. When Wentz goes down in the playoff game against Seattle this past year, That was it. They had no shot to win the game. They had all field position in the world. They weren't going to win without Wentz. They couldn't.
No, it's too hard. I mean, you have an offense that predicated. You build your offense around the quarterback, and you know the second string guy doesn't get those reps, and all of a sudden the first guy goes down. You adjust. I mean, half your offense is out. If you got to just stop. Because you can't run the same offense with the other guy because you're going to fail. And you're going to put the guy in a position where he fails, right? And the problem is, if you got a team that has a pretty good quarterback, you're behind the eight ball. Now your defense has to pick it up. Your defense has to steal some possessions for your quarterback. You got to steal some possessions. You got to take the ball away. You got to do something to steal an extra possession or two for the other quarterback that's coming in. And that becomes part of the mindset.
Oh, it's so true. So true. Hey, last thing, and Herm, you're the greatest, man. We love you, and especially like during times like this where we're living through history, you know?
I mean, this is something that
is so monumental that we're living in through history right now. So a voice like yours, very inspirational. You still have, I mean, you know, you're forever a coach, you know? And
yeah.
It's a calming thing, and I'm sure in your own, I know it hasn't, and thank God, you guys are still, you know, it's not as bad there, but I think people need our leaders, and they need guys like you, the coaches, the inspirational coaches, to make people feel at ease a little bit.
Well, you make a great point, and I just think that's part of being a leader, you know, in moments like this. You have to stay calm, knowing, because we live in a world, in this great world, and especially in the United States, where we have the ability to just do things on our own. You know, we have the flexibility of just, your day is your day. And now all of a sudden, people are telling you, your day is not your day. there's some requirements, right?
Right.
We're an open society, right? And you know, it's kind of ironic because I was texting my players, you know, I try to text somebody every other day because they're all sitting around too. And there's a couple things I told them this week. Last week I said, you know what's important and manage your time and attitude. That's one thing. You can take care of the little things right now. Make sure you focus your time and energy on things that make you better, And then the last thing is, do not let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do.
Wow.
And I just think if you can live by that, you know, you got a way of kind of getting through this a little bit, you know, and that's important. I think it's very, very important that we understand that. You find a lot of time now. You know, we live in a noisy world when you think about it.
Yeah.
There's no noise. There's no noise.
Yes. Wow.
Right?
You're
there's
so
no noise.
Right.
I mean, there's no noise. I mean, I look out my window, you know, and there's always traffic, and you can see the freeway, and you see cars. I told my wife, like, day before yesterday, you know, because, you know, all of a sudden we're watching Mass on television, right?
Yeah.
We're sitting in our living room watching Mass on television. And so I told my wife, I said, you know, every day now is like a Sunday.
Wow.
There's no traffic. There's no, There's no noise. We live in a noisy world. We do. And now it's quiet. And that's a little bit of a like, ooh, what is this? Well, this is the time that we can all reflect. We can all reflect now. You know, enjoy the quiet. Because it's going to get noisy again.
Yeah.
Right? But right now it's quiet. Everything's quiet. Let me think about it. Right?
Oh, go man, outside. Every day's a Sunday. You're right. That's so true.
That's what I told my wife yesterday. We're watching Mass on television. But the girl, listen, you know, every day is a Sunday. If you just imagine every day being what Sunday looks like, it's Sunday morning. It's real calm. I mean, if there's a game or something, I get that. But I'm just saying, every day, like, it's a Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no traffic. It's quiet. We're not used to that.
No, we're not. We're not used to that at all. Amazing. It's true. And it's beautiful words, by the way. Hey, I got one last thing, I promise. But
sure. You
got to have a kid. The Eagles need a wide receiver bad. You got a kid that's going to be in the draft. Tell us about Brandon a little bit, because I think he's going to go probably, what, second, third round.
Yeah, he's got a chance, there's no doubt. He was a JC guy coming in, so you know his arrow was pointing up because he wasn't a four-year guy, he's a JC guy coming in. And he sat behind, he wasn't the star. N'Keal Harry was the star who went
right.
first round to New England, so he kind of took his spot. Very explosive with the ball in his hand now. Very explosive. Can make big plays in space. He's a space. He's perfect for the NFL. He really is. He's perfect because he's a return guy, punter, kickoff, but also you can move him around. We moved him around. He played outside, inside. He's about 195, 200 pounds.
Nice.
Very, very, you know, quick and has really good speed. Not going to take the top off it, but really fast. I mean, fast enough in space you can't tackle him. Big hands. Great athleticism as far as can jump up for the contested ball. Has great body control for the ball. He's a hand catcher. He's not a
I like those guys. I like hand catchers.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't like those guys that looking into their chests.
No. He's a hand catcher. He can pluck it. So he's gonna have a good career because he's a young guy. You know, he's just learned how to play football, to be quite honest. So, you know, arrows are pointing up. And he's a good kid, too. Hard worker, the whole nine yards. He's going to be a good player.
That's awesome. Herb, you're the greatest, man. Thank you so much for joining us and during
my
this time.
My pleasure, my friend. And all those good folks in Philly, y'all hang in there, man. The sun's going to come up, and this day will end, man. Let's just protect all those that we love the most. You know, that's kind of important. Like I said, we're all on the same team.
God bless, man. That's right, baby. Appreciate it, Herm.
All right, brother.
The best. Later. Herm Edwards, that's right, on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.